CliffCentral.com.
I love that. there's Timothy Maurice. That's Rory Sutherland who he had on. Rory Sutherland, what an interesting chap. I'm going to listen to that episode. I'm sorry that I only found out about it now. I feel a bit stupid. But Rory Sutherland is the executive creative director and vice chairman of Ogilvy. And he's an incredible man. He's one of the largest and most influential he's one of the most important and most influential people in advertising, and really is an extraordinary man. He's written a book called Alchemy, which is really interesting too. So Timothy Maurice, making waves. Very, very nice. Sia Sangweni is with me. It is cliffcentral.com on a Friday morning. We've got Toby Shapshack coming up in a little while. Have you noticed something this morning?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to draw attention to my own failures, but there are many of them, and we may as well take note of them. So usually I'm like, you know, blowing my nose three quarters of the time during the first hour of the show. So I'm not doing that this morning. I think I may be either allergic to coffee or to milk. And I decided this morning I wasn't going to make any tea or coffee, and I was going to see if it made me better. And I haven't been sneezing and blowing my nose the whole time. And I feel like there might be something in there. I'm just saying.
That's very interesting.
So I'll try it again on Monday without any tea and coffee, and we'll see if maybe it's the milk. Maybe I have like maybe I'm
lactose intolerant.
Yeah, well, there's some kind of allergy or something. Maybe it's just an early morning thing because I can drink coffee and tea in the rest of the day and it doesn't make me sneeze or any of that stuff. But maybe first thing in the morning, there's something weird that happens to me chemically, and maybe I should just stop. It's not good for me. Let me give it a go.
Sure.
Because I know it's irritating.
And are you willing?
I don't want to.
Enlightening news.
Sorry, Sia? What were you saying?
Are you willing to give those up, though? If you find out that one of those is something you can't have.
Listen, I will give up anything. There's nothing in my life, no food or drink or anything else that I care about more than doing what I do properly or doing it better or feeling better. And there's nothing worse than like sneezing and having a, you know, runny nose and all that shit. It's horrible, man. I don't want that. I'd give up coffee in an instant. I'm not that much of a coffee fan anyway. Oh. Tea I like, but as I said to you, it's never done what it does to me in the early mornings at night, so, or during the day. So I can still have tea during the day if that's the case. But if I have to cut coffee out, too bad, then I'll cut it out.
About a year ago, I started developing itchy hands every time I showered. So like hot water would irritate the insides of my hands.
Oh, wow.
And And they actually started like blistering a little bit at some points. So if I had a really, a really long shower and, you know, did the whole routine with shaving and all the rest of it, that would be particularly irritating to my hands. And I thought it was maybe one of my products. So throughout my search, I started eliminating products. That didn't help. Until eventually, for about 3 days, I showered with no products at all, just water, and the situation was still there. And I started looking up and googling it, obviously. And there are a small percentage of the population that's allergic to water.
Oh no!
On parts of your body, yeah.
Is it not a nervous thing?
No, definitely not.
Sure.
Even if I, you know, when your fingers start wrinkling when you're in the pool for too long, that would happen on my entire palm of my hand and in between my fingers.
You are a mess.
It's so annoying. It's terrible.
So,
and I was starting to like really hate getting into the shower.
Leanne, you should stop using so much sulfuric acid.
Oh.
Yeah, no, trust me. I eliminated everything that I could. And it's just one of those things. So now I have to take like shorter showers.
So is it ongoing? You still haven't discovered what the...
It's not as bad at the moment for some reason. I don't know why.
I think it's a nervous thing.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
Then with COVID and washing hands and using sanitizer, that just made it terrible. But yeah, it's weird.
If you're allergic,
you can go your whole life and then without being allergic to something and then just develop an allergy.
If you're allergic to water, I mean, you might as well just kill yourself, because being allergic, I mean, listen, being allergic to water is just, that's impossibly shit, right? Like, that's the shittest thing, because we need water every single day. Can you imagine if your throat closed up if you drank water? Then you're not going to last long. You've got like 3 days to live.
There are certain people in the world, very, very rare, who cannot shower at all. They have to use like water from brands like Aven, which is French spring water. It's a thing. It happens. And it happens to a lot of women while they're pregnant. Well, they develop these itchy hands and feet.
I think that is nature telling you your time is up. I think that's like nature saying, you know what, it's been fun, but now I'm going to make you allergic to water. So enjoy the last few hours of your miserable life, and then we're going to give you a glass of this, and you don't even need a poison. You're just like, I'm allergic to water.
If you look at the comments, there are a lot of people who have experience with this, or a family member who has experience with this.
All right, well, here we are. Bihleng says my mother has the same problem.
Never.
But I mean, Bihleng is so weird. Karen says, do you know how many chickens die when we eat them? What kind of a comment is that to bring out of nowhere? You're insane, Karen.
What?
Karen and Andre, you're both banned from the show. Andre says, wonder whether people are allergic to me. Everyone finds me so annoying. Yes. I don't know what else to say. You know, Andre, if you came to the show hoping this would be the kind of show where we'd be like, no, everybody's welcome and we want you to stay and we want you to feel at home. Nah. Not really. If you're not fitting in, you can fuck off.
Awkward.
I like the weather. Do you like the weather? Oh, I like when the sun rises.
I'm not going to beg anyone to stay. If you're not feeling welcome, you can go. There's the door. Thanks. Great fun. It's been fun having you around. All right. Here's Ellen Tuli, who says, be grateful that you don't have a baby, Leanne, with that allergy. That would be horrible. Imagine you can't bath or shower your baby. All right. I just want to get to some things that are important that are going on in the news. First of all, you must just tell me, put your hand up if you care about this, okay?
Okay.
Do you care that the NBA's ratings have slid to the lowest in 9 years? NBA, that's the National Basketball Association. Become very political over the last couple of months. You know, they've all been taking part in the whole Black Lives Matter thing, and people have been kneeling before games. They've stopped singing the anthem. Many of the teams are like wearing George Floyd shirts and all that stuff. Ratings have slid to the lowest in 9 years. Do you care about the NBA? Any hands up?
There are two different questions there. Do I care about the NBA? No, not at all. It means nothing in my life.
All right.
But what they're doing, and because they're slipping, that means something.
Okay, it means something.
Because it tells you what society is like.
Okay, do you care about the Golden Globes?
No.
I sometimes do.
Okay, well, they've canceled the Golden Globes for next year. They're not going to have them. And now the whole of Hollywood, because they're so hashtag so brave, people like Tom Cruise are going, you know what? I'm going to give back my Golden Globes because it's not representative enough. It's not transformed enough. There are not enough black people on the Hollywood Foreign Press Association for Tom Cruise. So he's so brave, he's handed back his little shiny golden trophy. Aren't you proud of him?
Yeah, that's fantastic, Tom, that you give away the actual piece of the award, but you've had the money, the accolades.
And what a time, what a time to give it out
of. You've had the money, the fame.
So my favorite one is Mark Ruffalo. You know, the guy who plays Hulk. That's his most famous contribution to human society. You played this fucking green Hulk on a superhero movie, you douchebag. So he goes... He goes at the Golden Globes this year, which was, 3 months ago or so? It was in February?
They're around February,
He goes up and he collects his award. All right, let me grab something that looks like an award. He goes up onto the stage and he's like, oh, thank you so much for my award. I just want to thank all of you. You're such a wonderful community of actors. I'm so proud of this. And thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press. Now he's like, hey, you can have your award back. I don't want it anymore because you guys aren't transformed enough. I'm like, Yeah, you didn't seem like you were so anti the award when you got it on stage, you big moron. What's going on with people? So we don't care about the Golden Globes, and they say they're not going to come back because they've got to go off and think about themselves. You know, this is what people do because they're under pressure from, like, insane people on Twitter. Well, we're going to have to go away and think about how bad we are. This is an organization. The Hollywood Foreign Press is all the journalists who review movies. Okay, these are not people who have to think about what they do for a living and change everything about themselves. Nobody gives two shits if the Hollywood Foreign Press Association spends 3 years thinking about themselves. In fact, I think all they do is think about themselves. Right?
You are right.
So, what is this?
I'll have to say, I'm a little verklempt about some of these, though.
Really? You like them?
I would wake up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. to watch the Grammys live, to watch the Oscars live, to, you know, it's a big chunk of my life and popular culture. So now it's just not going to be there.
Well, you see, these guys are going so woke now. There's no fun because the woke people don't want you to have fun. Everything's deadly serious. They have to get around each other and police each other's language. So I was at a lunch on Sunday and one of the members of the extended family told me he was at a dinner the night before. So that would have been Saturday last week. And he said it was mostly school teachers. And, you know, God bless school teachers. I've got friends who are school teachers, but most of them are complete turds because they only deal with children all the time. So they don't really know how to have adult conversations. And they're all very politically correct, right? Teachers are terrifically politically correct. I mean, it's the kind of job that would attract those sorts of people. And he says he was at this dinner, and everything he said they had a problem with. Like everything he said, someone at the table raised their eyebrows and kind of went, "You can't say that." And he said he was in bed by 9:30 because it was the most boring dinner he's ever been to. Because what was happening is everyone around the table was policing everyone else's language. And this is what's happening. This is why the Golden Globes cannot be fun anymore. Remember, Ricky Gervais was the most interesting guy on television that year that he told the people at the Golden Globes where to get off. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
He spoke.
Yeah.
He spoke honestly to those hideously elitist Hollywood celebrities, and he told them where to get off. And it was very entertaining for those of us who are not extremely rich, extremely protected, cotton-balled Hollywood celebrities. We all thought it was funny and it was entertaining. And he was taking pot shots at them because they're all friends with Harvey Weinstein. So the Golden Globes are not fun anymore. And the ratings were slipping anyway. So they're using this thing about transformation as an excuse to hide the fact that no one cares about the Golden Globes anymore. So that's why I asked you, do you care about these things? So NBA's gone. Nobody's watching that anymore. Ellen DeGeneres has just quit her show. Nobody's watching that anymore.
Yeah.
The Talk is no fun anymore because Sharon Osbourne's gone. They've dropped right out of the top 12 shows in America, which they held a position in for the longest time. Nobody cares anymore. And these things are going to start happening in all the places where all the fun is. So you can't have fun anymore because the people who are woke on Twitter don't want you to have fun. So thanks, guys. All you've done is made the world a whole lot more boring.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think that in terms of celebrities, can you hear an echo on me?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It must be yours. It must be the seance.
Oh, the spirits are coming back.
Go ahead.
Just in terms of COVID happening, I think it's had a huge effect on the value that we've put on celebrities.
Mm.
And we've just reprioritized everything in our lives.
Well, people don't really care about celebrities anymore. I mean, you know, when Lady Gaga starts telling you you've got to wear a mask if you care about other people, or you must definitely get this vaccine rather than that one. I mean, that's the last person I'm going to go to for that kind of advice is Lady Gaga. You know, she's a great great musician, and she's an interesting person to watch. And we all remember the meat dress, and she's definitely creative, and I appreciate that about her. But I do not need to be – if I were one of those people who was anti-vax, and I'm not, if I were a person who's sitting here going, I'm definitely not getting the vaccine, and I'm not, But the thing that would persuade me would be Lady Gaga. Then I really shouldn't get the vaccine because I should die. And it should be a bit of Darwinism that creeps in. I should die because I shouldn't be smart enough to be alive. If I'm waiting for my moral guidance from Lady Gaga, I've got problems. And it's not the vaccine.
I'm trying to make sense of it because things have definitely changed.
Absolutely.
From Absolutely. Even 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But that type of thing worked, even with politicians and what they would do and how they would coax us into doing things, that would work.
So listen to this story, and I don't want to go on about this because it seems like a subject that just doesn't go away, but I know that this annoys people as much as it annoys me because we're not all that stupid, right? I mean, there are a lot of us who manage to make it through the day breathing and walking at the same time. So we're not all dumb. This, you know, in London, they have the underground, right, Leanne? Mm-hmm. London Underground, it's where people travel on to get from here to there. So mm-hmm. on the London Underground, one of the people who's walking through the train to check if people have tickets, or it could have been the Heathrow Express, or I don't know, wherever it is that you have to actually show a ticket, because there are still trains in England that they do that on. And then you just show them your ticket, and then you can stay wherever you are, because some people sneak into first class or whatever it is. So the guy's walking down, ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your tickets? Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Your tickets, please. And some person on the train is gender non-binary. So,
oh boy.
So they go onto social media and they say, I can't believe that the person on the train from X to the said, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm gender non-binary. You better up your game, whatever the train company's name is.
What did this person them to say?
Well, here's the problem. The problem isn't that person. They're allowed to feel that way. They're gender non-binary. They've probably got all kinds of issues. And they can deal with those by telling the rest of us about them or shutting up or going to a psychologist. I don't know. But the problem is what happened afterwards, because this company that runs the train then posted an apology to this moron. Instead of just ignoring it, like, you don't have to respond to an idiot like that. Why do you have to respond? Just ignore it and take a person like that seriously. Come on.
And this is like similar to, what was it, Leanne, you brought this story up a few months ago. Some airline is now not even is banning terms like ladies and gentlemen as well because of such a thing.
Yeah. But you know, this train company said, oh, it's unacceptable that people use language like that on a train. Really?
No, it's not unacceptable.
Ladies and gentlemen is like how most people address a crowd of what is mostly men and women. I mean, throughout human history, it's been mostly men and women. I hate to break it to you, but gender non-binary doesn't typically tend to breed and make more gender non-binaries. So your particular and peculiar condition is the anomaly, and your particular and peculiar condition doesn't mean that people like me are going to be mean to you for no good reason, but it also doesn't mean that you have the right to enforce your nonsense on the rest of us, because most of us are men or women, and unfortunately for you, as someone who's gender non-binary, you're in the tiniest of minorities, and not everyone has to include you in their greeting, especially when they don't know you personally. And they're just trying to do a job. What madness is this? What narcissism is this? What kind of self-absorbed nonsense have you been conditioned with throughout your life that you think everyone must address you individually? If there is a crowd of 10,000 people, hey, everybody, ladies and gentlemen.
Excuse me. I'm gender non-binary. I'm not a lady or a gentleman. And I'd like you to refer to me separately, please,
at this rock concert.
No.
You need your head read.
No, I think we've tipped way over the scales. I remember a few years ago watching a documentary on Netflix called, I think it's called Disclosure.
Yeah.
And it is about trans people and trans issues, because I really wanted to get an insight more on it. And I'd have to say that documentary opened up my eyes to a lot of things that I didn't know before. Mm-hmm. But when we've gone a little too far when now there is a what should be an assumption, like you should know X, Y, and Z about me because how dare you not know? Mm. And the fact that you don't even know it,
right,
it means you're a horrible person. Aren't we still right. in a process of learning about each other and, you know, trying to get educated,
yes, but
that is the thing?
Isn't it also true that you can reserve the right to be a horrible person, like I was to Andre this morning? Sometimes
I'm saying for most of us, we don't want to go around and be horrible.
You are allowed to be horrible. And I think we've forgotten this. Like, we think that everybody needs to, that there's some kind of, and there's a risk in being horrible to people, is that people will not like you in return and that you won't do well, because in society, we are not islands. We have to support each other. If nobody supports you because nobody likes you because you don't like anyone and you're mean to people, you're not going to do well in life. That's a fact. But there are some people who probably deserve our ire. Like, I'm not a big fan of Adolf Hitler. You know, forgive me. If I'm not a big fan of Adolf Hitler and I say mean things about him, and he's an obvious example because there's no bravery in saying that you don't like Adolf Hitler. But if I don't like, let's say, Mus Benziswani, who was in the news this morning, you know, he was that minister who was like the lackey for the Guptas. Now, for some people, that's not on. You're not allowed to say that you don't like someone. So Michael says, just to wrap this up, Michael says, imagine addressing a crowd. Good morning, beautiful people. And then some woke asswipe objects on behalf of the people who are not beautiful. Well, that's the point. That's the point, right? I mean, here's what's happening. And I'm going to try and put this as simply as possible. Okay. I think I should be more handsome than I am. And that's absolutely fine for me to think. I'm disappointed every time I go up to the mirror. But if I believed I was beautiful and I then mm-hmm. expected everyone else to also call me beautiful, whether or not they actually felt that way, that would be going a step too far, don't you think?
Like, yeah.
If you feel
got you.
So what's going on in your head is your business. That doesn't mean everyone outside has to live up to that as well.
It's like assuming that people should assume what your mood is that day before they go,
right,
good morning. And what if I'm having a bad morning, am I going to stand up and say, how dare you say good morning when I'm on my way to a funeral? Those are your issues. Just deal with them yourself. Damn it.
Do you know who I predict is going to get cancelled next? And please mark my words. Let's note this day. I see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All of these, everyone in the baby industry.
Oh, why?
Where, you know, your Babies R Us and whatnot, because it's built on, are you having a boy? Are you having a girl? And this is blue for a boy and this is pink for a girl. I can see it now. They're going to get canceled soon because don't assume my baby's gender. I'm raising my baby gender neutral. So everyone from Cardi's and printing out baby shower invitations to manufacturing, I can see it happening now.
So here's Andre. We'll let him have the last word before we go to Toby Shapshack, because I've been so mean about him this morning. Andre says, but Gareth, I smile when you express your annoyance. I love your honesty and the reasons your show is so... Okay. Andre, we'll agree that you can stay and you can listen, but I don't care to hear... I don't want to hear from you. All right? We'll agree.
Gareth!
So Andre can stay and he's allowed to listen, but he's not allowed to message anymore. And if you do... if you message and you annoy me, then I'll just block you. All right? So Andre, that's how it's going to work.
Can we give him... And can we give him something at least? Because maybe going cold turkey is a lot. Can we give him one message a day?
See, you can talk to Andre as much as you like. I'm not banning you from talking to him. You're a free person. You can do whatever you want. I'm just not going to. Let's talk to someone much more interesting than Andre. His name is Toby Shapshack. No, really. Now, so Toby, first of all, listen, I'm sorry, my friend. You've called me like three times, and every time you've called me in the last couple of weeks, I have been in a meeting or in a recording, and I think you think I'm trying to avoid you.
I don't think you're trying to avoid me. I know you're trying to avoid me.
I swear to God, I promise you, my friend, I'm not trying to.
At least one of the times I've called you is because people come on your show and call you Cliff.
I know.
Like it's your first name.
Did you listen to
which I find hilarious.
Did you?
I mean, I'm, you know, I worked at the Mail and Guardian when my middle name's David, and there were like a bunch of us. There were David Beresford, David Jammy, David Shapshack.
Yeah.
So we all started being called by our surnames. Yeah. Beresford, Jammy, Shapshack. I'm right. completely used to that. I have a friend whose name is Rebecca, and she was at boarding school, and all four girls in the same room as her all were called Rebecca. So, like, being called by your surname, I think is kind of, you know,
I don't
part of it. Life. But the fact that someone does it on your show on continuously every time, or not every time, but several people do, I find amusing.
It is amusing. So listen, I promise I wasn't avoiding you. First of all, it's great to see you on TV. You've got a new show. It's called Stuff on ENCA, Indeed. Which is the short for
– Yes, sir.
The acronym for that is SOE, which is a state-owned enterprise.
Yes. I mean, it's the obvious name for the show, right? It's Stuff on ENCA, but so now great. It's called you could call me Toby Molefi, actually.
So first of all,
I'm going to show government how it's done. This is how you run a successful SOE.
All right, so let's talk about the show. There's lots of stuff I want to talk to you about, if you'll pardon the pun there again. But the Stuff on E show, just tell me about what that's all about and give us an idea of when it is and kind of what things you're going to be covering there, because people have always enjoyed you on this show, and I'm sure they'll want to see more.
Thank you. Thank you. It's every Friday night at 9:30 on ENCA, channel 403 on DSTV. And it's stuff on ENCA, all the exciting technology advances, medical advances. I mean, last week we had an unbelievable lineup of medical apps developed in South Africa, one called Epioni that lets doctors refer patients to specialists and continue to get the information backwards and forwards. I mean, people are unaware of how little communication within the medical system. Well, they probably aren't unaware. There's another great app called Synapse, also South African developed, being used here. One of the great examples is for burn patients in two Peter Maritzburg hospitals. There isn't actually a burn unit, but the doctors are able to look and deal with these patients, even though they're not nearby them or remotely. So those kinds of clever innovations, Gareth, that's the kind of thing that I think is really fascinating. So tonight we're looking at e-commerce, like how e-commerce boomed. Yeah. Worldwide Work says it grew 66%.
That's an amazing thing. I mean, I placed an order on Takealot the other day, and I'm not just plugging them because they're South African, but it's amazing how, you know, Amazon, I mean, what a monster. The fact that Jeff Bezos is just stamping out competition in every corner of the world, from little, you know, general dealers in small towns right through to the biggest, retail stores in the world. It's unbelievable. Store. It's unbelievable, right? I mean, you and I used to, I know you've introduced me to a number of shops overseas, and some of them are closing down, sadly, because they just can't. They can't compete with these online people. And the idea.
Okay, listen, the good news is it's only Muji America that closed down. None of the other stores. Globally, Muji is still open. It's okay. Thank God. Yeah. We can still get Muji pens. I have spares. Don't worry, Gareth.
Yeah, I've got some as well. I've got some here. Hang on. See where they are. Anyway, yeah. So,
but I agree that e-commerce, you know, the thing about COVID, the most important thing for me is that most people have a reluctance to learn new skills or to learn new things. Or if you're an older person, you call your kid or you call your grandkid, and they
just hold on,
you.
Toby. I just want to sort.
It just was impossible.
Sorry, I just want to sort something out. There's like a little bit of like a bad connection. It's almost like the something's not working properly. Can we just go out and then come back into the stream? I just want to reload you here because it's not sounding great, and then it annoys people. They get crazy.
I think it was from his earphones.
Yeah, did you hear it as well? It wasn't just in my head.
Yeah, sounded like a string of farts.
Okay, yeah, because I thought I was going on. It did sound like a string of farts. And I don't want people to think Toby's coming on the show and farting, you know?
Yeah.
No. So Fatiswa wants, wants to know, what are the pens that Toby referred to now? They are called Muji, M-U-J-I, M-U-J-I.
You bought me one, Gareth.
I did buy you one.
When you went on one of your trips.
Yeah, they're the best. The best. Here's a Muji pen.
Why are they the best? Yeah.
I don't know. I just like them a lot.
Yeah.
Muji.
Come on, Sia. Come on.
Okay. No.
Gotta cover your eyes for the picture.
Sia's the only one who doesn't
have one.
He doesn't have one. Sia, look, this is called peer pressure. We all have Muji pens.
What is this?
It's called pen pressure.
Yes.
Do we need to sing to this pen at noon?
You know why
I love this brand? See, I'll tell you why. It's called Muji. Muji means in Japanese brand of no brand. And it came about in the 80s when there was this, I mean, this was before you were born, I'm quite sure. There was this mass consumerism, pretty much like any kind of ANC gathering, conference gathering, mass consumerism. And this Japanese company came about with these really great high quality products, very, you know, Japanese styled, with no branding on them. And I really love that. I'm really quite ascetic when it comes to
beautiful,
ostentatious branding. Yeah. And they are excellent, simple. I still have the same set of cutlery that I've had for maybe 25 years, all the stuff I've ever bought from them, I'm still using. They're just really fantastic. And that's, I mean, I suppose that in many ways, I don't know how this ties to any kind of TV show, but that is the brilliance of something like Muji. They're a brand that has no brand. You don't buy it with a big logo on the front. You know, it doesn't say super dry. It's simple and beautiful and elegant and it's all about the product. Well, it's not about the brand.
One of the things I've always loved about Stuff Magazine and what I'm sure that you're going to be able to do on the show too, and because you've got a TV show, you could actually show us moving picture, not just, you know, still image of some of these incredible products. And I think that's what people love. And you've introduced me to so many cool things over the years, just like little things, little life hacks that just make travel much easier, little life hacks that make using technology much better. I mean, it's really, this is such good stuff, because if I love anything,
I agree.
If I distill anything in my whole life down to what matters the most, it's these little things that make life more efficient. It just flows more easily. You have beauty and aesthetics at the same time as you have functionality. I just love that stuff. And isn't that the reason that products like Apple are the best, most expensive and most valuable products in the world?
Well, because they just work, as Steve Jobs always promised. Yeah. You know, there's some very similar brands to that. Sonos, the sound system.
Yes. Oh, my
absolutely
God.
Absolutely fantastic. I have very slowly replaced the existing sound system in my house with Sonos. Awesome. Just works. I mean, it didn't always just work. It's gotten significantly better.
So let me
there
just
was
understand.
Some connection Sonos, issues, but it is now very good.
Sonos have wireless speakers that you could put in any room, and they all connect to each other. And you could play it from whatever, from your phone or whatever. Oh man! So you don't need to have an expensive.
So you can play
expensive hi-fi with all the wires and the cables and none of that. You don't need any of that.
Brilliant!
Oh, it's amazing.
So you can play the whole house the same music or each room individual music. You know, in our new Stuff Studios, it's about 300 square meters. Mm-hmm. I've got the very small Sonos Roam. I mean, it's only about this big.
Yeah.
And it fills the entire space. It's astounding. But that's the kind of, you know, I suppose in many ways what we're talking about is what does the media do? The media have always, or journalists have always been big data scientists. I'd go to the Truth Commission, I'd cover a Winnie Mandela hearing for the whole day, and I'd write it up in 400 words and explain everything that happened and all the key quotes, something went terribly wrong, end quote. That's what journalists do, and that's what the media does. Like so Stuff doesn't break stories about, well, often break stories about big corruption or things like that. But we have our place in the kind of tapestry of media freedom. And part of that is people want to know what technology they're buying, especially if it's a smartphone or it's a cell phone, or because that's a 2-year purchase. So we go through all of that, and we make sure all of that is fine. Hello, my guy.
Is that Max?
Oh, my boy. That's Max. He's not feeling great. So
let's see Max. Hello, Max. I haven't seen him in ages. Yeah. So last time when he was a baby.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, Shapshak, your earphone thing, the buzzing is back. I don't know what it's from. I mean, for a tech expert, you know, it's not. There we go. That's better. No, it's still
what
there.
What is that? It's something that makes Daddy's headphones buzz.
It's still buzzing. It's still buzzing, whatever it is. I don't know what
it is. It's like a static thing.
Leanne says it sounds like a string of little farts.
Has it got anything to do with my headphones? Those are now off.
It's better.
Yeah, maybe.
That's better.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Apple always works. Always just works. So the fascinating thing for me, watching the difference between all the other forms of journalism I do and television, is that television is just so much more visceral because you can see what's going on so much better, right?
Yeah.
You can see what's happening. And that's really powerful. You can reach a lot more people. And at the end of the day, Gareth, like there's so much good stuff in South Africa. Like we went to this one company. I'm completely in love with this company. They're called Infinite Industries, iindustries.co.za. They take the stuff that would end up in landfill, plastic, aluminium, and they turn it into useful things. They compress it into boards so you can make desks for kids. I want to make a bench, wow, and I want to make tables for our offices,
yeah,
all out of stuff that would one day be in a landfill. I mean, this is the kind of like amazing story that we come across often, and we can tell it so much better with television.
Absolutely.
But what I want to do is not just television. It's got to be, you know, we live in a multimedia world. You know this. You're one of the great independent media producers. John, please buy some Sonos headphones. They don't make those yet. I do have some very nice Sennheisers that I'll fetch in a second. But that's, you know, the point of journalism is to expose all or to shine a light on all of these good stories. And television is now part of it because video is how we communicate. It's always been how we communicate. We understand things we see. And while we're watching and listen, it's a more powerful medium because of that. But we write the stories, we let people know. I mean, how's this for an unbelievable story? Dr. Ivor Chipkin, you've had him on the show before. He's the academic, he's a genius, man. This man is incredibly smart and erudite. He's taken his state capture research. I mean, he literally wrote the book on state capture. He's taken that and turned it into an algorithm that you use to predict whether a company or a country has the capacity it says it does to do it. So you want to build a road. The company says, I'm going to build a road.
Mm-hmm.
And his company called Safe Passage takes a look at it, and they say you have the capacity to build the road or you don't. Now, his conclusions about South Africa are just downright scary, as you would imagine.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't seem like any part of the country has the capacity to deliver on anything the politicians offer us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that kind of story that we're just not seeing it anywhere, you know, and I'm really glad that we can tell these kind of amazing stories, you know, when the founders of companies send you messages.
I'm really excited also. I mean, you know, you're a no bullshit kind of guy, and that's also why I think people like to see you.
That's Mr. No Bullshit to you.
Like I said, your pronouns are him and his. There he is. Yeah. Toby Shapshack. But people like to hear and see you. You know, they like to hear what you have to say about everything from gadgets to the latest developments in, I mean, I love this idea of turning crap that we're going to throw away into useful stuff. That's just fantastic. Literally. Yeah, I love it. All right, so listen, we've got
to went to Boxburg and I fell in love in Boxburg with this company.
How often,
Gareth,
How often do you hear the words, I went to Boxburg and fell in love? I mean, that on its own, it should be worth at least a daytime Emmy. So, okay. So Toby.
should we do an advertising campaign for Infinite Industries and go, I went to Boxburg and I fell in love.
All right. So you are on a Friday night on ENCA. That's channel 403. At what time? 8:30?
9:30.
Okay. So and you have to watch.
In fact,
you have to watch live. I know this because if people don't watch live, you don't get the ratings. Then they'll can the show. This is hugely important because it's the same thing for me. So if you don't watch,
I watch your show religiously every Wednesday night.
Thank you. I mean, some weeks are better than others. Let's just put it that way.
Some weeks I'm muted. Some weeks I don't.
All right. So just watch Toby this evening. Get off your lazy backside and then go and sit it down again in front of the television tonight at 9:30 and make sure you don't miss stuff on ENCA. It's called SOE. You'll think it's about corruption and state-owned enterprises, and they may even cover that sometimes, but you don't want to miss it.
But it's hosted by Brian Shapshack.
All right, man. Have a happy day and love to Max and Annabelle.
You too. All cheers, right, man.
Cheers, dude. Bye-bye. I love that guy. He's so funny. There he is, Toby Shapshack, everybody. What a crazy crackpot. A good show, though. I've got to warn you, if you haven't seen it yet, you're missing out. And I don't want anyone to miss out. There's lots of stuff going on in the world. You only have so much time in your day. Fill it with the useful content, the stuff you care about. And speaking of useful content and the stuff you care about, here he is George Meany. Hello, George. What's happening there?
You should announce those boxing intros.
In the red corner, weighing in, what do they always say? Weighing in at 120 kilograms with fists of steel. It's George Meany. And in the blue corner, with her enormous titties, it's Rhiann Moe.
It's the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of my lord. You see, I can double up as the theme song person and as the ring girl. Yes, I will don a bikini for this.
See, you made me afraid.
All right. Enough of the nonsense. So, George, what do you have for us this morning? What's on the menu?
You just made my Friday, Gareth.
No, really?
It didn't take much. Only. Yeah. His first song was, I think it was before lockdown. What was that song?
Ugh, horrible.
You brought it.
Horrible.
I can't remember its name.
Which one?
It was a. I don't know. Are there a few?
Your song, Sia.
Oh, my song?
Yeah.
Your song, Sia.
It's you. It's you.
It's true. It's you. It's true. That it's horrible.
Please, no.
I never felt this way. So that is the only song that...
Okay, I've taken him off the stream for the moment. Doesn't matter.
Oh, well done.
All right, so let's go back to George. George, I'm sorry for all these interruptions and Sia just making it about him, but you go ahead. What do you got for us today?
He's like totally sidetracked my head. Anyway, the corruption, that's what I wanted to say. The corruption.
Corruption.
The corruption is not only in South Africa. So this gentleman in California, he used COVID loans and grants from the U.S. government. It was called the Federal Coronavirus Relief Loan. By setting up a phony business, getting $5 million, which, by the way, is 70 million rand, and then used the money to buy vacations, a Ferrari, a Bentley, a Lamborghini.
Oh, wow.
And then prosecutor, he's 38 years old. His name is Mustafa Kudiri. he was arrested last week.
Let me tell you something. If you're going to be corrupt, don't also have the name Mustafa. I mean, it's not a great name. I mean, Mustafa just, you know, if you've got a name like Mustafa, it just sounds like you're already getting shit together to be as corrupt as possible. And then you go, how many cars?
A Ferrari, a Bentley, and a Lamborghini. If you're going to be corrupt, like the corrupt people seem to be flashy and then they get caught.
They're so stupid. George, I went to a dinner on Wednesday night. And I was sitting next to somebody and we were talking about if we won the lottery or, you know, if we suddenly made like billions of rands in business or whatever, the last thing I would do is buy a flashy car. It's like you're asking for trouble. Like this is what these dumb people who, you know, if you've worked hard your whole life and you really need a Ferrari, I understand. Go and buy a Ferrari. You do what you want with your money. But if you are one of those people who's got away with enormous amounts of luck, or if you're a corrupt son of a bitch and you've stolen the money, do not draw attention to yourself with the obvious flashy car. It's like such an invitation to SARS to come and check out your stuff. Or worse, to people who will come out of the woodwork and say they're your cousin or whatever and they need some money. Someone will be sending you notes to say, oh, my daughter's so sick. Can you please pay her hospital bills? Don't do it. Don't do it.
Exactly. You're inviting trouble if you're all flashy. That's just right. Not, you know.
May that be a problem we all have to deal with one day. That we're so rich that we have to be, you have to tone down our spending. Let that be a problem.
Exactly. So, Mr. Mustafa, you shouldn't have bought those Ferraris, Bentleys, and Lamborghinis, China.
Correct.
38 years old, but not a clever corrupt.
Pretty stupid.
So he's been released on $100,000 bail and will appear in court, and they seized the cars and they seized $2 million left in cash in his bank as well.
Okay.
Almost sounds like Mufasa. Remember the Lion King, Mufasa? And then the hyenas.
So you said Mufasa, now see, he got so excited he froze. Okay, carry on, George. What else have we got?
And then a positive story in South Africa. Two major insurers have rolled up their sleeves and started to repair Johannesburg's potholes. Now, before I get into the actual story, guess how many potholes there – well, I think there's probably more than this, but guess how many potholes are reported to exist in South Africa?
Billions.
Billions and billions.
479 gazillion.
Yeah.
48,000 potholes have been reported in South Africa.
I think
48,000 potholes. Now, juxtapose that against a road network of 754,000 kilometers in South Africa.
Okay.
So we've got 754,000 kilometers of road, 48,000.
George is buffering a little. We'll just wait for him to unbuffer.
And then it sounds like, that sounds rude.
It is rude. It's very rude. George is.
Oh, mother buffer.
I know.
Let's watch him unbuff.
But look at how he's frozen in that position. I'm going to just put that on the screen so you can have a look at George frozen.
No.
yes. It's great.
You know, I think George is about to give us a good maths equation there. The number of kilometers of road divided by the number of potholes reported.
Anytime you
know how well we do there.
Anytime you give us a maths equation, everything freezes. That's what happened. So we'll get George back on, and then he can finish his equation, and hopefully everything won't freeze again. But I do love Fridays, because when I see George come on the show, and I'm like, yes, it's the weekend. Finally. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And we've had lots of crazy shit to talk about this morning, so I feel like I've started my day right. Here he is. He's back. Here's George Meany. He's returned. Go ahead, George. You were telling us about potholes and the amount of kilometers of road we have.
Yes, so we've got 754,000 kilometers of road in South Africa, and we have 48,000 potholes reported, apparently. So if we go 754,000 kilometers divided by 48,000 potholes, there's roughly one pothole every 15 to 16 kilometers. Feels like there's a pothole every 100 meters in my area, but be that way. Those are the numbers. So the good news story, though, is two major insurance companies in South Africa have decided to jump on the bandwagon again, one of them being Dial Direct, and help the Joburg Roads Agency fix the potholes.
I love that.
But Mr.
Come on, that's good, right? You know, we always give the give the insurance companies a huge amount of trouble because we hate their ads. I mean, if I see another Ilana Africa dancing in a supermarket ad, or I have to watch some asshole in their car talking about how great their insurance is, it's just appalling. It's appalling. It's embarrassing. It's shit from beginning to end. Their advertising has always been shit. There isn't a single insurance company except for Naked, who worked with us for a while, and because Ernest is such a clever guy, ever come up with any advertising that was any good. And these guys, we give them hell because they deserve it. But in this case, I want to lay the credit down like a carpet before their feet. I want to say, Dial Direct, I love you, because if you fix three potholes, you're doing more than almost anyone else in this country, and certainly more than anyone in government. Good for you.
Exactly. So under this initiative, and you know, well done. I think it's a brilliant initiative. It was done years ago. Dial Direct used to be involved in this pothole project before, but now they've got special trucks. And City Mayor Jeff Makubo said that they aim to fix around 4,000 potholes per month using specialized trucks. So please be patient. And Mr. Mbulula,
Fikile Mbalula, Mbalala Mbalula,
costs around 700 to 1,500 rand per square meter to fund pothole repairs. He also said, though, the country's provincial road network has reached the end of its design life of 25 years.
Oh, God.
So, you know, does that mean more potholes? But, you know, hopefully, companies in South Africa that are helping, like Dial Direct, we can avoid holes in the road.
All right. Well, I just I just want to say well done to Dial Direct. Really, can't say that enough. If you're fixing potholes, you're a friend of the people of South Africa. See ya.
Exactly.
But just to sift through what they're doing, do you think, yes, okay, they might all mean well, but do you think it's because they've been so inundated with claims, insurance claims, that it would actually be cheaper to fix the potholes than to carry on forking out money?
Well, I mean, you probably, Sia, you know, there has to be a reason. But, you know, besides the reason to not get more claims is the underlying reason could be, the consumer benefit to not actually putting that claim in, the inconvenience, so while this does benefit potentially lower claim rates, at the end of the day, Dial Direct would be wanting to help the consumer. And I feel like that's their objective.
Well, I mean,
their objective isn't lower claim rates.
Isn't it also, but it is also, I suppose, useful to them because they're filling us all with some sense of hope about the fact that someone's taking care of this problem. They probably have to deal with so many claims over wheels that have become damaged in potholes. I mean, we know that's a serious problem, right? So they're in some ways, they are self-serving, but nothing's altruistic. This is about as close as you're going to get to it. Let's move on. What else is there?
Well, then, Pirelli. Pirelli is leading the cyber tire industry. So Pirelli put onto the McLaren Artura and a tire that is going to become the future of the Internet of Things. So this tire has sensors inside the tire, which is connected to the rubber. Now, the pressure sensors that you have in your car are connected to the valve, which is connected to the rim of the car. So what these sensors do is they actually measure temperature of the rubber, they measure the pressure of the tire, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And they've put it onto this McLaren in a hope to get real-time information on the track. But usually the track is a birthplace of technology that eventually gets into the cars that we drive. And you can imagine with the connected network, we're talking about potholes here. So you can imagine with a connected network of tires speaking to each other on a 5G network, and this has been tested already on a 5G network in international parts of the world. And you can imagine these tires talking to each other and being able to warn other cars where potholes are.
I like the sound of that. But when someone says like tires talking to each other in 5G, I'm like, whoa, 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 stop. Just slowly now. Tires talking to each other. Leanne is already like, listen, she doesn't like the fact that her car is talking to the guy at the garage when she doesn't even know. It's like they're whispering behind your back. So how would you feel if your tires started talking to other tires on the road, Leanne? Oh, she's on mute.
Yeah, she's on mute.
You've got to accept these things, Gareth. It's part of life.
You've got to move with the times, Leanne, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I will listen to what Leanne has to say because, of course, she is our resident tie and wheel expert because she knows wheels.
don't even go there.
And how to parallel park.
I've barely got over that.
Yes, last week with your stupid car that parks on the side like that. It's ridiculous.
It's not stupid.
We didn't laugh at you, Leanne. We actually laughed with you. The whole week, you put a smile on my entire team's face because of that.
If I had lots and lots of money, I would buy you a car like that, just so that you could be the only person in South Africa who drives a car that drives sideways.
You could drift.
Thank you, Garrett.
All right. Now let's go back to George from the tire and wheel department, the tire and wheel department of Leanne Moll. Go back, George. On to you.
So this is exciting stuff. I mean, in the world of the Internet of Things, 5G is imminent. The naysayers can push against it. It's going to happen, unfortunately or fortunately for you, depending on which position you take. But with the 5G network, car manufacturers, tire manufacturers, parts manufacturers are going to begin building sensors, putting sensors into their equipment that is going to talk to the network, which is going to make life even easier for us. You know, and then people are going to claim Poppy and all those things. And I'm pretty sure that the companies are going to comply. But I think it's exciting. I think bring it on.
Fantastic.
And then finally, Gareth, you remember last week, week before, I had the Porsche Taycan?
Yes, you've made us all very jealous. In fact, who is it here said that? Someone wanted you to lend them your car. I think it was Woody. He said, Woody says, can you please lend me your car? He says borrow, but I'm going to correct that so he's not embarrassed. Because, of course, Woody, if he used the word borrow, it would mean he's an uneducated fool. But he wouldn't have used that, so I'm sure he meant lent. George, can you lend me your car for a month? I need to get to work. Thank you in advance, Woody. So will you help him out? No.
Sorry, Woody. Then that means I would have to walk and I might not make the Cliff Central show. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to at this point in time. If I had two cars, maybe.
Yes. But I don't. Okay, but you had that Porsche. And tell us more about it because it looked fantastic. It was very sexy, the little bits that we got to see.
Fantastic. It was absolute dream to drive. I was loath to give it back that day that we spoke. Mm-hmm. But there's one particular aspect of that car that is creeping into all electric cars, and that is the soundtrack that plays. Now, don't think of the soundtrack as speakers playing the sound. You know, I want to dig into, you know, how this technology actually works. But it is a soundtrack, and the car emits the sound. Played with it on this Porsche. When I first heard about electric cars emitting a soundtrack or a sound, I thought they were going to start making sounds like the traditional exhaust tones that you would hear in an internal combustion engine. But that's absolutely not the case. It is a very futuristic zinging sound that emits from the car, which is actually let me call it fake. It's not the car's real sound, but it's really there to ensure that pedestrians hear the car. But it also is a very cool feature.
Okay, so it's made up. It's made up so that people, because otherwise you don't even hear these electric cars, and people would be crushed constantly under their wheels with their shopping. So it's really to keep keep pedestrians on the outside of the car safe.
Exactly. So, but the amount of thought that companies like Porsche and BMW and others are putting into the soundtrack. I watched a few short documentaries on how they produce these sounds. I mean, it's produced in a studio with real instruments and editing. The amount of effort that goes into putting these sounds together is incredible. You should go and Google these sounds and there's a particular story called Interstellar Maestro Brings Space Age Soundtrack to the BMW i4M and iX All Electric Models. And you can go and watch a video there that gives you a little bit of a sense of what goes into making these cars sounds.
That's so amazing. It's like the sound that your computer makes when you turn it on, or your Apple.
Oh, you mean that? Those noises.
Or that... Boom.
Oh, right. Yes. Boom.
You know, I know that. Now, that sound is actually a combination of about three different tones, and it was put together by a man who I watched this video about. Mm-hmm. And at the time, he just did it as part of his daily job. They said, make a sound for when the computer comes on. And so he did. And now he's lost out on like millions because he never, laid claim to the sound.
Listen, George, I know that we asked you to do some research on the best zombie apocalypse car, but we don't have time today. Can we look at that next week?
We can definitely, Gareth, and I was going to mention at the end of the show, I have something very special for next week's show. So stay tuned, which will include the zombie apocalypse story.
Okay, brilliant.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane?
Is it a car? Is it a truck?
Sia needs to get out.
Second hand. Sia needs to double cab.
Sia needs to get out of Dundee. It's addling his brain. It's not a good place to be. All right, really. Very embarrassing.
Goodbye.
All right, everybody. Have a happy weekend, and we will see you on Monday. Be good. CliffCentral.com.